streaming live on KYOKradio.org. KCOH, 1230 AM, The Source.
On Zen Geek Radio, 95.1 FM, 1460 AM.
And Aliento Radio, 101.7 FM and 1540 AM. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then. This is Gilbert Garcia of A Tip from Gilbert. Houston's not working for everyone. People don't feel safe. Potholes are everywhere. Water bills are skyrocketing, and minority businesses are struggling. That's why I entered the race for mayor. Read about my 100-day pledge to Houston at garciaforhouston.com. Thank you.
Political ad paid for by Garcia for Houston campaign.
Houston, welcome to another episode of A Tip from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer. You got me right here, Gilbert Garcia, and I have my work partner and radio sidekick, Ruby Dang.
Good morning, Gilbert.
I know I expect a lot of callers today, Ruby, because first of all, I do want to talk a little bit about this concept of bike lanes.
Right.
I want to talk about bike lanes and what's happening with bike lanes and what's going on with car lanes being cannibalized by bike lanes. And then I'm hoping that the city union will call in, and I don't know if they're going to be able to call in today because I think he's off, to talk a little bit about the union and what's happening there. And then I'm hoping to cover Metro. I saw one of the, of course, Metro haters again talking about a lot of things about Metro. But I had a very busy day as I visited several churches this weekend. So I've got a lot to say. And I know you have a lot to say because you took your two children to Texas A&M.
That's right. This weekend was the day, you know, every parent, you know, it's mixed emotions, right? It's what we prepare for. But then at the same time, we're afraid to let go. But both my kiddos are now attending A&M. So it was an interesting, yeah.
Well, first of all, Ruby, I mean, what are you going to do now, you and your husband? I mean, y'all going to sit there at Magali and you'll be there together. Oh, we miss the kids. I mean, you know, I mean, really.
I think it's going to take some time to get used to, right? Right now, it's still too new. But I'm really thrilled and proud. I'm a proud Aggie parent. I just look forward to their future and with excitement and a little bit of nervousness, right? But it was a beautiful day as it relates to, you know, seeing all the families put their kid or take their kids to college and set them up. But it was a very hot day.
Were you lifting stuff and carrying stuff in that heat?
And remember, I had to do it twice because I've got a freshman. My daughter's a freshman. She is going into the engineering program there at A&M. And my son is going in as a junior in the economics field. So
are they going to be near each other? Will they be able to see each other?
Well, they should be able to see each other.
But they get busy.
That's right. But it's nice to know that Big Brother's there. But it was really beautiful to see everyone, you know, get ready for a great new school year. But yeah, no, mixed emotions. Right now I'm still on a high, but ask me next week.
I'm going to ask you next week. I want to come back to this whole thing about parents and children leaving and everyone. Let us know your feeling. Call in. But I do have a caller. And let me just see. Would you let our caller? Is it Miss Ann Derryberry?
Dominic.
Oh, it's Dominic. Let's go to Ann. Is Ann there?
Dominic.
Okay. Dominic, are you there? Okay. We'll come back to both of them.
I had the phone on mute so I wouldn't be interfering. Yeah, Gil. You know, I just thought of something last night. You know, you know me, it's Mr. Metro. There's one thing that concerns me, and this got to deal with the tropical systems that were coming this way. It looks like we're not going to get the brunt of it like California is. But, you know, I was on the high capacity task force at the Houston-Galveston Area Council. Now, for those who don't know about HGAC, they're like the parent organization of eight counties in the area. And for transportation projects, both Metro City, Houston, TxDOT, has to go through this process, HGAC. And one of the things that came up with this high capacity task force for transit. And one of the goals, and we really pushed this considering Harvey, is that the system we put in, the main system we have to put in, has to be storm resilient, which for us is probably going to be winds and flooding. For instance, on the I-10, the inner...
Hey, Dominic, can I interrupt you for a second?
Sure.
I have limited time. You brought up something very important. So I'm going to switch your focus to that, if you don't mind.
Go. It's your show. You're the boss.
Well, thank you, my friend. Actually, the people are the boss, because the people are the ones that should drive this show. And you brought up HGAC. There's going to be an item on the city charter ballot, or I don't know exactly the terminology, but on the ballot this November for citizens to vote to tell the mayor that they need to make sure HGAC has the voting for the city of Houston and Harris County is proportional to the population. Are you familiar with all that?
I do go to meetings, so I can switch.
Let me ask you the HGAC, how much money goes through there? Do you know? Because the word is that so many billions of dollars go through all the time, and the city of Houston, Harris County get very little because we are outvoted. What's your take on all that?
Okay. I've talked to David Robinson, that is the chair. He's also one of the five council members. And it gets down to this problem. It is on your projects to be mayor. A lot of this money that goes into HJC is being stymied by Austin because of the hatred between Austin and Houston. So a lot of money that would normally be appropriated to say, transit projects, roads, and stuff like that in the city of Houston and Harris County, we're not getting it because Austin is not sending it down here because of the hatred between Austin.
But a lot of money is coming through there. How many members are on there? Do you know?
It can be a quorum is 14. I think it's like 30. And I'm shooting off the top of my head right now because I have no paperwork.
Well, you know what?
But I do go to those meetings.
Well, listeners, so we don't mislead, so we don't do anything incorrect. I'm going to make this an issue on one of my upcoming shows because I want everyone to know what's going on. And my view is this. I support the charter amendment. And I think that the city of Houston, Harris County should have a direct say on how the monies that get into the region are spent relative to the proportion of the population. In other words, it makes no sense for all this money to come down here because the population of Houston Harris County is so great, but the money's not being spent here. I mean, what am I missing, Ruby?
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Isn't there such a saying? Isn't there saying taxation without representation or something like that? What? I mean, somebody said that. I mean, who said that, Dominic? Maybe Dominic said it.
That was part of the argument for the 13 colonies to leave to leave England.
There you go.
That was part of the American Revolution.
Well, Dominic, do me a favor. Go to one of those HGAC meetings and let us know and call in and tell us about it, how it goes, what's it like, and everything else, if you don't mind.
Okay. There should be one next week.
Good.
I'll go to the one on Friday, and I'll keep that up because I didn't go into those meetings.
Keep going, but go with an eye to call in and tell us what's going on. So Dominic's sure, no going to be the secret spy that everyone knows about because all of Houston is hearing that he's the spy.
That's right.
So don't worry, Dominic. Just kind of, you know, go in there and do like this. Remember, who was the wrestler that would go like this with his hand and he'd say, "You don't see me." Just go like that, Dominic. Just do your hand in front of your face like and wave it back and forth. Dominic,
that needs to be looked at, and I agree with you.
Good. I'm going to roll on. Dominic, thank you for calling in because I got a bunch of calls coming in. Thank you, my friend. Thank you, Dominic. Was there an Ann on the phone?
Miss Ann.
Ann, are you there?
She's there.
Miss Ann?
Yes, hello.
Is this Miss Ann Derryberry?
Yes, it is. Hi, Gilbert.
Miss Ann, thank you for calling into my show, Talk Inspiration and Prayer, a tip from Gilbert. You have me, Gilbert Garcia, with my sidekick and partner at my firm, Ruby Dang. And I had teed up the audience, so I'm going to just tee it up again, which is, and then I'm going to turn it over to Miss Ann here. You know, Ruby, when we come into our office and we work downtown on 5 Central Houston, and you used to be able to come on our street, and there were like 4 or 5 lanes and you could go really fast down the street. The lights were synchronized. And then someone put a bike lane on our street.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is it's not like we were ever got a warning or any type of, I don't know, not a poll, but you ask people, would you ride a bike if I put in front of your bike lane? And no one did a survey. And what's very interesting, in many of the parts of the buildings, they took up two lanes to put in a bike lane, including right in front of our garage. Mm-hmm. And so I know, listeners, you can't visualize this, but what we have to do when we park in our garage, in our building, when we're taking a right into the garage, we have to cross two lanes. One of them is a shutdown lane, and the other one is a bike lane that took a car lane. And what's scary is that bike lane goes both ways.
I think it's worse exiting. At least when you're coming in, you do see. But when you're coming out, Gilbert, I can't see anyone. And you're right. They're coming from both directions.
That's what's scary. And you know what? And part of me wants to say, thank goodness nobody ever rides that bike lane. Because if they did, somebody would get hit.
I agree.
I mean it. I mean, this is just basic. You're going on a one way with a big, powerful car, and bikes are going both ways in theory, except here nobody rides it. And you could just hit someone, and who knows what could happen.
That's right.
But Miss Ann reached out to me because they're having an issue on another part of town.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very important that we sort of connect these dots. And I love bicyclists. Yeah. And I love the sport. I love people bike ride, all those things. But it's really about public safety. And it's really about what's the best way to use this space to get people from point A to point B.
Right.
So, Miss Ann, tell us what's going on where you live and what's happening with your neighborhood.
Okay. So, you know, the Heights and surrounding areas have many charms. We have lovely residential streets with old trees. It's a relatively safe area in the big city for walking and biking with children and dogs day and evening. The negatives include ditches, of course, and no or bad sidewalks. And that prompts people to walk in the street, the residential streets. There is a major hike and bike trail that crosses 11th Street, which is a major thoroughfare. So people wanted a safer way to cross 11th at Nicholson and for school children to get to school because, you know, Hogg Middle School and Heights High School are nearby. So what the community wanted was a hawk light, which is similar to a light that you may be familiar with at Shepherd and 10th, at Westheimer at Lamar High School. The Museum of Fine Arts. There's also one sort of, it's a little bit different, but it's at Yale and 7th Street. And then there's a bike trail crossing light at Antoine, north of Little York. Well, the community wanted a hawk light.
Explain to me again what that means, a hawk light, please.
I forgot what the acronym stands for.
But is it like a turn lane light?
No, it's like a press the button light.
Oh, and then, okay.
So that you can cross.
I know exactly what it is. Okay.
So anyway, someone convinced Mayor Turner, they sold him on the idea of a road diet, but really it was all about bike lanes because West 11th, which runs from Heights Boulevard to Shepherd, wasn't wide enough for a road diet that included bike lanes on either side and a center turn lane. Mm-hmm. So they ditched the center turn lane in favor of the bike lanes. And that causes a safety problem because now there's nowhere to pull over for emergency vehicles who need to get through, like fire trucks.
Oh my.
Or emergency EMTs or anything, you know, any police cars, anything. Because they've got cast in place with concrete and rebar curbs to protect the bike lanes.
Wow.
So they're not movable at all. And so that makes it very difficult. And it makes it difficult for fire trucks to make a turn on the street. On top of all that, very, very few people use these bike lanes. And Houston is not Portland, after all, or LA or New York. But we have these bike lanes, and they're going in all over the city. They're proposing to put them on North Main Street now. They are going in on Shepherd and Durham. And there are other areas where the bike lanes are going to go in, too, because, oh, and I forgot, almost forgot, there is a bike lane being promoted by Rodney Ellis over in, what is it, Fourth Ward? I forgot the name of the street.
Blodgett.
Blodgett. That's right, Blodgett mm-hmm. Street, over by TSU.
Well, let me ask you something, Ann. Who's like designing all this? I mean, who's in charge of this? Is there a master plan? And how come the public doesn't know? On simple as here's a map, and we're trying to do bike lanes all around this map, just like they would a transit. We're going to put transit here and let people either, I don't know, vote on it or at least have a survey or something. I mean, who's deciding all this? And you know what, Ann, how much does this cost? Does anybody know with a city that doesn't even have like enough? You hear there's not enough police officers. You hear we owe the firefighters a bunch of money. You hear we can't pick up trash. Our water's not good. I mean, well, golly. I'm sure this costs money.
Can I step in for a second?
Oh, who's
I'm
this?
I'm also on the call. This is Marion Wright. I'm on the phone with Pam, and we've been working on this project together.
Keep going.
And I think I might be able to answer these questions a little bit.
Go.
So there is something there that's called, we're trying to get the city, according to the transportation guru, and I don't really know what his name is. David Fields is his name. But he is the head transportation planner now for the city. And David Fields is working to get a gold level friendly bike city by 2027. Now, what a gold friendly bike city is going to get the city is absolutely nothing other than a resume pad for the people that are coming into the city that are trying to do this. It's part of the Vision Zero, which is they want to have zero deaths on our city streets by transportation deaths, which we all would love, right? I mean, who wants anybody to die on the streets? But they're going about it in a really crazy way. So instead of turning around and having the infrastructure that we need, they're turning around and they're saying, we're going to go ahead and take these high injury networks and take and try to get rid of, you know, the areas, slower traffic on the areas that we have a lot of accidents. And so, but what they're doing is they have to have so many miles of bike lanes in order to reach that goal of bike city friendly. So they're backing into where they're going to put the bike lanes by turning around and saying that they're safety projects. So they turned around, they said that our 11th Street was a high injury network. Well, actually, the only part on 11th Street that actually had accidents that would even qualify as being any sort of a high injury network was on Shepherd. In 11th, right at that one. That's not even part of the project. They stopped the project before they even got to that. But then they went ahead and they decreased our major thoroughfare, which was two lanes in each direction, to one lane in each direction because they said it's going to make it slower and that was going to help and be a safety issue, safety, you know, thing. But they were going to keep a center turn lane. But then when they realized they didn't have enough room to do all of that, they got rid of our center turn lane. And they put in bike lanes. They kept the bike lanes.
I mean, it's like.
So it was about the bike lanes, I mean, all
along. What am I missing? It's like, who's making these decisions? And it's like, where's the common sense to all this? It seems to me if you put in a whole bunch of bike lanes and you got all these cars and you just put them in, you're going to create more accidents and more deaths. I mean, I know
They're pushing cars into our inner neighborhoods off of our major thoroughfares. They're pushing cars off of the major thoroughfares and into our inner neighborhood mm-hmm. streets, and we don't have the sidewalks.
Oh my God, that is a recipe for disaster. As a father of four, and no matter what you tell kids, don't play in the street, don't play in the yard. Guess what they're gonna do? Play in the street and play in the yard. Right. They're gonna do it. The ball rolls out, and they're not paying attention, and you get cars into the neighborhood. You're asking
That's
for trouble.
That's what's happening.
Oh, my goodness.
Cars off of our major thoroughfares into our inner streets. And we used to have, the major thoroughfares are on a grid system. So we had a grid system where you could tell kids in our neighborhood, like for my, I would tell my kid, don't go past this street, this street, this street, this street. And he had 12 blocks or so that he could ride his bikes and just relatively safe. He knew which streets not to cross.
Well, let me
That's
ask.
That's not happening.
Well,
now.
Let me ask you this. It's so funny because, you know, everyone knows I'm running for mayor now and I understand my chances, but that's not why I'm running. I'm running because I love this city. And I put on my principles, a bunch of things. I said, what would I do? And I put, you use an interesting term. I think you said street diet or road diet. Mm-hmm. I called it cannibalization, where you're cannibalizing these streets. And I put on there, you know, someone's got to be thoughtful. And why wouldn't we have a requirement that says, before you put in a bike lane, get some input from the neighbors? And why wouldn't you say, has anyone done any minor study of any kind to see if it would even be used?
We had 3,000 people sign a petition against the road diet.
Come on, you did?
Yes, they did it. I promise
you. And where did you take those signatures? I mean, and what did they do about it?
Nothing. We brought them to the city. They did absolutely nothing. You want to know why?
Why?
They said that our civics club and our super neighborhood clubs wanted this. Well, my civics club has a couple hundred people in it, and our super neighborhood group had 12 people that voted on it. And the area that it went in, which is Heights, abstained from voting.
Come on.
Because I promise you, and they did it anyway.
And don't forget, our council member, Abby Kamen, was in favor of the bike lanes and totally ignored our petition.
And why is she in favor of the bike lanes? Is she a cyclist?
Who knows?
Where
did her funding come from for her to get elected?
Well, yeah. You know what?
Okay, a lot of this is actually coming out of New York, because the head of the transportation department and the head of Bike Houston are both from New York, along from what I understand a lot of Abby Kamen's money came from when she ran for office.
You know, that's what's wrong, when money can influence decisions instead of the people and the neighborhoods. Let's go back to something, because I know we've got like four callers on the line, but how much does this cost? Does anybody have an idea? If you put in, I'm making this up, a mile of a bike lane, what does that cost? Or the bike lane project on 11th Street right there, what does that cost?
The 11th Street was a mile and a half, and it cost $1.65
million. $1.65 million?
Sold it to us, telling us it would be $600,000, but then once they got everything finished, they came back and they said, no, it was $1.6 million. And I don't think they had to redo the street as well before they did it, repave it. I don't think that that's included in that.
Wow. So imagine being told $600,000. It's like, oops, it's not 1.8 million or 1.6 million or whatever, 1.2 million. And then you know what? How many sidewalks could you put in for that?
Right. That's what we need. More sidewalks.
When you just told me y'all don't have sidewalks. I mean, think about that for a second. How many sidewalks?
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
To floating bus stops on Heights Boulevard. Floating bus stops. Don't even, you have to go see them. Drive by 11th and Heights to see exactly what these things are. They can't even use them because I don't think I don't know what the reason is. I believe it's because they're not handicapped accessible. And there's something going on right now with Metro in the city arguing over who's going to either make them handicap accessible or remove them. But we keep hearing they're going to get removed, this and that. They've been there for what, like 4 or 5 months?
I'm going to go check it out. So there's a bus stop. That maybe, so we put in a bus stop and they may take it out.
Yeah, it's not even a bus stop. It's a big chunk of concrete in the middle of the street, and it's called a floating bus stop. They have a bus stop there that they're using, but it's not that thing. You have to go see. They blocked off a lane of traffic with something they call a floating bus stop. And can you kind of explain what the floating bus stop looks like?
Well, you know what? What's interesting is I was chairman of Metro under Anise Parker, the mayor Anise Parker, from 2010 to 2016. And we did all kinds of great stuff, which I won't use airtime for. I never heard of a floating bus stop. No. Ruby Dang was on the pension board for Metro. Ruby, you ever heard of a floating bus stop?
Never heard of that.
I don't even know what that is. Go ahead, Ann. Tell me more.
It's a huge block of concrete.
That must be attractive looking.
I wonder
keep
how much
going.
That costs.
And
it takes up an entire lane.
It takes up the entire right lane on Heights Boulevard at 11th Street, so that people who used to be able to travel straight north in the right-hand lane now are running up on top of it and ruining their cars.
Oh my goodness!
Oh, that's terrible.
As if the roads aren't bad enough, now you got to dodge these floating bike lanes. It reminds me of, wasn't it Avatar, the floating mountains of Hallelujah Mountains that are just floating up there in the sky? The floating Hallelujah Mountains, right? Isn't that what that was called? Now we got the floating bus stops. Holy cow. Well, I think we need to talk more about this issue. I think it may need to be like a whole episode, I think.
Well,
because people need to know.
And what phases are they in? I mean, eventually, I mean, what is the final?
Well, that's
what I'm curious about.
Where's this all going? Yes, exactly. Where's the, master plan?
Exactly.
Or something, because other neighborhoods need to know what might be coming to them.
Right.
That way they can, you know, have a say.
Right. That's right.
It's disappointing to hear that 3,000 signatures did not warrant at least a meeting, a hearing, a discussion. Mm-hmm. That's very disappointing.
Well, and we also have businesses that are losing a lot of business because you can't turn into their parking lanes, parking lots anymore from One Direction. We've already had at least two businesses that are gone because of it. Andy's Cafe, which is one of the oldest Mexican restaurants that we had in our neighborhood. Yeah. They've been around like for 50 years. The ceramic store, which supplies like all the universities and everything with all the supplies for their ceramic departments. I mean, it's a big, they moved because they couldn't get their trucks where they needed to be. We have now sometimes the trucks block off our lanes completely for Buchanan's and different things when they're making deliveries because they have nowhere to park. In the past, when we had two lanes in each direction, they could, you know, block off a lane and we could still get by. And the community lived with that. That's what we were used to. That's what we knew.
Well, let me ask
you. Our restaurants can't even get supplies.
Let me ask you a silly question. And this is going to sound silly, but it really is the most relevant question of all. Do a lot of bikes ride that bike lane?
No.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, we've lived here, not lived here. We've worked here at this building for 20 years.
Yeah.
And when did those bike lanes come? Do you remember? 2 years
maybe
ago,
about
maybe?
2 years
it was
ago,
before COVID.
Yeah.
Before COVID. I bet you in the entire time it's been there, entire time, I've probably seen, I don't know, 8 bikes.
Yeah, and even because we have the stadiums close by, you would think you would even see some of those bikes that carry folks from parking to
What do you call the pedicabs or something?
Never see them.
Yeah, never.
They don't even use
them. They just use the street.
And another thing is that really has to be brought attention to is that they're underserved communities where you really maybe have a large population that use their bicycles more than what we do in some other neighborhoods because that is a form of transportation. They're not doing that in the neighborhoods. When we do see people on our bike lanes, they're people in spandex that are riding them for fun, not people that are getting to school, not people that are going to work. That's not what they're being used for. They're doing it in the gentrified areas, not the underserved community.
That's right. The underserved, they look like, you know, me and Ruby, right? They're Hispanic, African-American. I mean, let's be, you know, frank. You know, they're using mass transit.
Mm-hmm.
They're using the bus. You know, and frankly, they're working so hard, they don't have time to go on a little excursion on the bicycle. None of my relatives ever had that kind of time. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And the bus is air conditioned.
Yes.
Yes. And, you know, I remember when I was chairman, we put a great deal of focus for the very reason, and I didn't think of bike lanes when I was chairman, but what I thought of is how do you make the cyclists connect to transit? And so we spent a lot of time designing the buses and designing the rail cars to make sure there were big open areas for the bikes or to put the bikes harnessed in the front of the bus. Mm-hmm. In other words, we thought about that. And said, you know, we've got to do something for the bikers and make sure that they're safe and getting around. And that way they can use mass transit to get to like bike paths and park paths that have bicycles. So we did all of that. So you would have thought that someone would say, what a great idea that is. Let's use that. Well, I want to have y'all back because I think this is an important issue. And is it already completed?
The one on 11th Street is, yes.
Darn.
They're about put one in on North Main Street.
So they're supposed to be doing a study now where they're waiting until 2024 to see if it's successful, to see if they're going to make any modification or
changes.
How
do they measure success?
Yeah, are they going to see, you mean to see if the 11th Streets are successful?
Yes, they won't tell us. We've asked what the matrix are, and we've gotten nothing.
Well,
so I don't know what data they're collecting or what they're doing, but they're supposed to be doing something.
That's just not right. Mm-hmm. As a citizen on the radio, I'm asking City Hall. I'm asking the mayor, Councilmember Kamen. I mean, everyone should know, what is the metric of success?
Yep.
I mean, what is it? Is it, I'm making this up, Ruby. Is it no accidents?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, you got to have, 1,000 bikers a day? Is it the car flow did not slow down? I mean, what is the metric? Just tell us. That's all we're asking.
There's transparency. To want to be transparent on that.
And given some of the behavior in City Hall, and I'll say it because nobody will say it, but I will, is, you know, who's getting the contract to build these bike lanes?
Oh, I can tell you.
Tell me.
For this one?
Boy, did I just, you know, I just punched a button right there. Tell me.
There's a company called Durwood Green. Now, you have to go and pull up this company, Durwood Green, green with an E on the end of it. So there was actually, they were accused in the 80s. Actually, they pled guilty to it, so it was more than just being accused. There was some...
Or kickback.
What was his name? He was one of the county commissioner. He was on that side of it. Elkins or something like that was his name. Anyway, they built a mile on his private ranch using government stuff. And then there was something to do with Westheimer when they didn't do the right ton of concrete under it. There's some kind of quick drying concrete that they were supposed to do. So they didn't use that on Westheimer. And they did this. So they pled guilty, and it was like $11 million worth of defrauding the government, you know, public, and then bribing public officials and all of that. They pled guilty, had $1 million fine. The county commissioner resigned from office because of all of it. He passed away. They waited. They changed from having an LLC to a PC or PL, whatever it is, to some other limited from corporation. Got exonerated from their fines.
Come on.
I promise you.
I mean,
they're not doing business with the city again. And if you pull up Durwood Green, pull it up. Look at it yourself.
Yeah, I got to do some research in this because I want to make sure I get it right. But at the end of the day, this is madness. You know, stop the madness.
Wow.
Remember that movie Network when the guy opened up his window and he says, "I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore." I mean, maybe that's what the citizens have to do.
And I go and speak about this at city council and I have, you know, and they just said, "Well, it was up for public bid. They're the ones who got the public bid. It's okay." That's what David Martin told me because the mayor wasn't there that day. Marion, it came up from public bid. They bid on it. It's all right. I'm like, how can you even say that? You know, like, this is just insane.
Yeah,
Why would you ever give a contract to someone who pled guilty to bribing public officials?
Shouldn't there be some scoring that says, and the scoring, and I've done many procurements, the score at the very beginning should say something like a question. And if you've ever been caught bribing somebody, that's like minus 5 points or something.
Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be a way.
There's got to be a way
to put something in there that says if you've done, you know, malfeasance or whatever,
that's a standard question.
You should be penalized. Well, my goodness, I really appreciate y'all having the courage to fight for your community and to talk. Fight's a bad word, but stand up for your community and bring these issues up. I'm gonna do a show on this. I think Ruby, I just need to get a little bit of schooled up myself, just a tad, so I can get my questions in order. And I'm gonna call y'all back and maybe try to have you as my whole guest, if that's okay.
Okay. Sounds great. And we'll go ahead and we'll pull up all the stuff we need
so
we can actually speak on it.
This is important. And you know, if the community doesn't get involved, well, there's going to be something in front of their, you know, street soon enough. And I just don't know if having someone award in 2027 of being bike friendly, is that really worth it? When in reality, how much money did we spend to get that designation versus, you know, fixing streets, fixing roads, you know, get this
sidewalk.
Yeah, sidewalks, get this floating bus stop permanent. Or get it out of the way. Yeah. I mean, one or the other.
We have two of them.
Oh, I'm going to go look at those floating bus stops. Thank y'all for being on the show. And I really had a great time. And I'm going to have y'all back.
Thanks, Gilbert.
Thank you so much.
Enjoyed. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Ruby, can you imagine that? Wasn't it Avatar? The floating Hallelujah Mountains? Do you know what I'm talking about, Avatar?
Yeah.
Those mountains that were in the sky? Well, now we've got floating bus stops, I guess.
That was interesting.
That was very, very interesting. We have a Paul Benz on the line. Paul, are you there?
I am here.
Paul, speak to us. What do you got on A Tip from Gilbert? Talk inspiration and prayer.
Well, Gilbert, just to kind of go off that last conversation, it was Judge Eccles, who I remember growing up in Houston, and that was Durwood Green Construction Company. So they couldn't remember the judge, but you probably remember Judge Eccles. I'm a bicyclist.
Talk to us.
I do not support the political agenda with the bike lanes as they are now.
Very interesting, Paul. You are like, let's talk about that. Do you mind?
By all means.
So first of all, you're a cyclist. So that means you have a cycle and you like to do it for, I don't know, want to say sport, but for recreation, right? Or do you use it as a mode of transit to get to work?
So I am what I call a utility cyclist. So I use it for work, errands, whatever. In fact, before the pandemic, I averaged 80 plus miles a week just doing utility riding, going to work, medical appointments, whatever, grocery store, all that stuff.
And do you live there in that Heights area by this 11th Street and all this stuff?
I live in just across I-10 in the New First Ward area.
And are there bike lanes by you?
There are. There's a recreational bike lane down Spring Street that goes into the Heights that goes all the way out to the west and up to TC Jester along the bayou.
Okay. And I think from your perspective, it sounds like no big thing. But from my perspective, 80 miles a week is a lot. Yeah. To me, that means you use it as transit because you're going to work. So let me ask you this. Do you find it hard? Like, oh my God, we need bike lanes because I can't get to where I need to get.
Well, and also a question too, is he's an avid cyclist, was he aware of this?
Let's make that the second question. The first question, don't forget it though. Yeah. The first question is, do you think we have pathway or cyclist pathway problem?
No.
All right. Well, then let me ask you this. So Ruby, ask your question again then.
No, I'm just curious, with your interest in cycling and actually using as a mode of transportation, were you aware of the plan to have these bike lanes put in? And if so, how were you informed of it?
So to go back a little bit, they created something called the Houston Bike Plan. And what was interesting was that there was a request to put some bike lanes on Houston Avenue. And even someone who works directly for Turner, is a direct report to Turner, had commented on how that was turned down. It was kind of weird. It was not done, at least that request was not done in the light of maybe a better agenda per se. In other words, organizing the street and providing this, because there weren't contiguous sidewalks and there was a tunnel that goes underneath the railroad tracks that it could hook up to and connect to the other bike lanes. There is another bike lane that goes on Houston Avenue that goes over into Woodland Heights or across to White Oak. But as far as the newest kind of plans per se, there was a big map with a lot of things on it. But this idea of displacing traffic was not really talked about. Mm-hmm. So where this first kind of came up was really Shepherd Avenue or Shepherd, in the sense that a lot of people don't realize that construction on Shepherd is actually going to displace a lane on either side.
Oh, no.
Wow.
And oh, no.
And that was done in a way, part of the issue with all this is that it's done in a way, for example, I'm quite well known. I was a member of the PED bike subcommittee at HGAC. I was invited to this meeting, but it was very clear that only certain people were really invited. And they basically called this a public comment meeting when it was really only certain people that knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an active movement to really only inform and kind of get feedback from those that are going to support whatever it is that they're proposing. And then when it's questioned to some degree, it's kind of blown off as, well, it won't be a problem. And basically they're picking traffic metrics and in some cases doing the measurement multiple times in order to get the numbers that they want. So for example, there's a signal on on Washington Avenue that's about to go in, or it's in process of going in. It has this poles up, and they measured it for years, and they couldn't get the traffic numbers to support it. And I don't know how they got them, but right. they kept on trying and trying and trying. And there are people like me who watched them and said, you can't measure. That's not right to measure at that time because it's a heightened traffic time and that sort of thing. So, so yes, it was known, but not to the extent that you could, that you could say, okay, it's going to start displacing lanes. So when I heard that it was displacing lanes on 11th Street, I called up and asked some questions. I also called the people of the city that I knew that dealt with that area and got no phone calls back whatsoever.
Wow. That's terrible.
So once you start questioning it, you get the stone wall. And these are some of these people I knew and had actually worked with on different things. And so I was just asking, legitimate, honest questions. Where are you getting this? What about this? Those sorts of things to understand at least their side also.
Keep going, Paul. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go, go, go.
What I was going to say is what I've seen from the energies of people who are doing, trying to bring out the word on 11th Street bike lane is that they're not against bike lanes. They're just against kind of how it's displacing and then going to cause other issues in the neighborhood. If they put it on a street over one north or south, it wouldn't matter really. But why it became so important for the bike lane to go in on 11th Street is a little hard to understand. It's very hard to understand.
Well, does anyone do any type of survey or study to say, if we do this here, we expect this many bike riders?
So there are metrics that they use, but they're, in my opinion, they're somewhat resistant to going and measuring the actual effect anonymously or over a longer period of time. Don't get me wrong. There are some bike metrics that are done year round, and those are probably pretty good.
Or what about this? Do they do a study that says, if we take out a lane on Shepherd, how many cars will be displaced, or how will the traffic flow go? I mean, something like that. Or will it go into the neighborhoods? I mean, someone's got to be paying attention.
Well, and also including the growth of the city, because there's only going to be more cars on the street. So you've got to take that into account as well.
Well, now you're like getting into really deep. I'm just trying to say right now, based on what you know, what do you know? Well, Paul, that is fascinating. Well, I'm going to have you back, Paul, because this is such an important topic. And it just seems to me that there's just not a real plan, or if there's a plan, very few people know about it. And it seems like they're not getting enough input of the feelings of the people. And remember, I'm not in government, but when I was at Metro, we serve the people.
That's right.
It's the people's money. We should spend it the way the people want. And my own view, and maybe it's because I'm not an avid cyclist, is cycling is wonderful. But things like public safety, things like even having, roads fixed, or things like, there's so many more things that we need right now. Our water working, the infrastructure being improved, flooding things. It just seems more like a luxury, Paul. Because like anything else, we have fewer public dollars and we need to stretch it to impact as many people as possible.
I would agree, Gilbert. And one thing that you mentioned the word luxury. There's a little joke amongst several of us, and that it's because they call these high comfort bike lanes.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm not kidding. And the little joke is sort of like, well, you can take a Prius or you can take a limo to the airport. And it's not hard to say which one's going to be higher comfort. And at the same time, that is not a bad analogy for what is kind of going on. And let me say this. My approach, as well as some other people, is more of a skills-based approach versus an infrastructure-based approach. So when you're out there riding, if you want to be safe, you need to be communicating with cars. And anyone who's seen me and some of the other people riding, they'll see we're in direct eye contact. We're motioning to cars like, you know, go ahead, turn in front of me, no problem. You know, we're waving the people through, that sort of thing. And so there is a role for some self-advocation of your own safety and not just relying on infrastructure, which is very, very expensive. With that, let me let you get back to things.
Well, Paul, will you call me again or write in the show so I can get back to you? Because I'd like to have you back. I think you're very knowledgeable and you're very fair and balanced. So I thank you for calling into this show. I really appreciate you, pal.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Paul. Boy, you know, that's very interesting. And he's a cyclist.
Exactly.
It all goes back to you know, we all got to learn to get along and work together. And the thing that's often gets me is when I see not just bicyclists, but even the guys that ride the scooters.
Right.
They're just going in and out of the street lane and they're like ignoring the traffic signals.
Yeah.
And that scares me to death when they're next to me.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to hit any of them.
Yeah.
We have another caller there. Who's the caller there? Karen, are you there, Karen?
I am here.
What do you got, Karen, for a tip from Gilbert? Talk inspiration and prayer.
Well, really, your previous callers were much more informed than I am about the situation. But I was just always thinking, like, with this new bike lane push and all this money that they were trying to get some sort of, you know, how people, they're getting on those, like, best city to live because
right.
you need so much bike lanes and stuff like that. Well, they're going to, you know, end up hurting themselves in the long run because it's just going to make traffic so much worse. And just like what Ruby said, you know, almost everybody has a car. You need the space for the cars.
That's right.
It's just like they're trying to get one thing, but it's like you're trying to get one tiny award, but then you're going to make the city like down to the bottom of the list again because traffic is so bad. And traffic's been bad. It's always bad.
Yeah. And you know what? And you're going to be at the bottom of the list because traffic's bad. Roads are bad. Our water's not clean all the time anymore. Our trash is not picked up on time. I mean, you can
safety,
go on and on.
Things,
public safety, you know, crime is high. Nobody feels safe. You know, you can go on and on and on. But you know what? We got comfort bike lanes, and we're going to get the
bike lanes.
Yeah, and we're going to get the Bike City Friendly Award. And thank
millions
goodness,
of dollars.
Yeah, thank goodness we have a floating bus stop.
There you go.
I gotta get on
we're
top of that.
We're gonna have to go see that. We'll ride our bikes over.
Yeah, we'll ride our bikes to the floating bus stop. Holy cow. Well, Karen, I appreciate you. Do you have any bike trails, not bike trails, but bike lanes around your house?
Well, I live kind of close to the bayou. So, I mean, whenever I would ride a bike, I would just ride it on the bayou. And that's like, you know, that's a natural way to use bike lanes. Or maybe they have, you know, they've converted, you know, some of the old trails or like old railroads or something into bike lanes, not cut a busy street in half for bikes that almost, you know, if you rode your bike yesterday over the weekend, you probably passed out. It's too hot.
I don't, maybe these comfort bike lanes come, they're air conditioned or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Right. They're probably going to hire that same company to put like fans in there.
Yeah. Oh my God.
What, you know, so shady.
Yep.
What are things coming to? Well, Karen, I appreciate you calling in. So please call in again and please express yourself. Thank you so much there, Miss Karen.
Thank you.
So Houston, that's what this station's for. I mean, not the station, this show's for Talk Inspiration and Prayer. I'm learning every day about citizens and what they care about. That number is 832-570-8075. It's unbelievable. We've almost spent the entire show on bike lanes.
Wow.
But you know what? But it's a big issue.
It is.
And I'm very, very puzzled. I don't know if I'm disturbed or puzzled about the cost and who's doing it and why and where's the master plan. And not everyone was invited to give input. I mean, that's an issue, right? That's a problem. You know, I didn't get a chance to talk enough about your whole venture. I just you remember what is it where the Griswolds went to Wally World?
Yes.
I think there should be like the Dangs go to A&M. Was it like that?
It was.
It's like every person had a car, right? Y'all were in what do you call it? Y'all were like in a caravan.
Well, I didn't tell you, Gilbert. We were actually trying to leave the day before, and it was, you know, chaos as we had a flat.
Oh, my, come on.
Then we realized my son's back taillight wasn't working.
No.
You know, of course, the kids promised me they were prepared, but of course they weren't.
They weren't packed?
No. But that's okay. You know, it was the experience. I'm never going to forget.
I appreciate that. Well, you know, so at my house, the Garcia household, Benjamin left about 3 weeks ago. Benjamin he's going to LSU, and he went. And I don't know what it is about my wife, but it's as if she thinks there's no toilet paper in Baton Rouge. you know, she bought a bunch of stuff for him, and he stuffed it on his car. And I looked at it all. I'm like, I know they got to have paper towels in Baton Rouge. I mean, we can't be the only city that has paper towels and toilet paper.
Let me tell you, yesterday at
Target,
Saturday afternoon at Target.
Yes. Yeah,
they were out of everything.
Come on.
So your wife was thinking ahead.
Oh my God. Well, I take it all back, honey, if you're listening. I apologize, babe. If you're listening, because I just looked at it all. I'm like, I mean, certainly they have trash bags in Baton Rouge, and certainly they have, you know, and oh my God, I don't know how many towels she packed for him.
Yeah,
it's like towels. And doesn't she know that young men at college, they use the same towel over and over? Yeah,
right.
And they might have two towels, total. And the one that they use over and over and over, what they do is they just hang it up so it dries, and they think it's clean, and then they just swap it out. It's not like he's going to go do wash.
That's the college experience.
I mean, really. Well, I visited a couple of churches this weekend. The Greater Macedonia with Pastor Ben Lewis. And, you know, Pastor Lewis, it really struck me. He had a wonderful sermon about a story in the Bible with someone who, of course, was at the lowest point in their life and how essentially they turned to Jesus. And Jesus, you know, helped them through that. But he goes, he is so low, he has to look up to even see the bottom.
Wow.
And you know what's interesting about that story, because he allowed me to preach, and I can give a sermon. Mm-hmm. That story of that person, that's been me before, Ruby.
Yep.
And I know all of us in life have gone through a difficult time somewhere. And you feel like you look up and you see the bottom because you're so low, you're below the bottom. Another joke we used to make when times are tough is you could play racquetball on the curve of a street.
I don't think I've heard that.
I know, right? Let me say it again. In other words, the curve of a street's real low.
Right.
Well, your racquetball is a real tall,
I grew up in a Hispanic neighborhood. Okay, we didn't have racquetball.
I understand. The whole point is this. We all go through difficult times. And ultimately, I think in some way, we often, without even realizing it, turn to God.
Yeah.
We turn to God because you know what? When you're at the bottom, there's like nobody else to turn to. And so that story really stuck with me. And then I saw the Greater Hope Church with Pastor John, Moses John, and Harrison was there. A gentleman came up and he had asked everyone to wear yellow. And this man had the most incredible yellow outfit. And I had a yellow shirt. And I just said to him, man, I love your outfit. And I said, I'm Gilbert Garcia. He goes, you're Gilbert Garcia. He goes, I listen to you every Monday.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Mr. Harrison, you're out there.
I gave him a big hug and I said, you know what? You just made my day.
So why were y'all wearing yellow?
Well, because they were celebrating the anniversary of the church and the pastor said, everybody wear yellow.
Beautiful.
Remember, like tie a yellow ribbon mm-hmm. around the tree?
Yes.
I just thought it was a beautiful thing. And for him to say, I listen to your show, it really touched my heart, right? And then I went to Sunnyside to the Missionary Baptist Church with Pastor Allison. And then, of course, I went to see Tiempo de Milagros with Pastor Lara, and he let me preach there. And boy, you know, the very interesting thing about going to all these churches, there's one thing that unifies us all, which is our love for our fellow human beings.
Right.
When I walked in, here I am, a stranger in their community. And I mean, in every one of them, people would say, oh, welcome. They'd hug me and welcome, welcome. And it just felt wonderful. It gave me great hope for the world. Yeah. It gave me great hope for society. It gave me great hope for this country and this city. And you know, we know we have a lot of work to do and we got things to do, but you know what? As long as we can continue our love for our fellow human beings, we're going to get there, Houston. Yeah. You got to have hope. We're going to get there. And my job as mayor is if I were mayor in that song, no, is you know, I want Houston to be in the same breath of the great cities of the world, Ruby. I'm not going to be satisfied being better than San Antonio.
Right.
I mean, my goodness, I want to be thought of as New York, London, Paris, Munich, Barcelona, Tokyo, all these wonderful, Toronto, these great cities of the world. When you think about cities of the world, we should be in that same breath.
We should.
And it's time, Houston, that we strive for more than just, can we just outcompete Dallas?
Right.
My goodness. Well, I'm almost all out of time already. We have one more caller because I do want to get in my ad and my commercial. Is there an Yvette on the line?
Yes. Hi, Gilbert.
Yvette, what do you got for us on a tip from Gilbert? You got about a minute or two. What you got for me?
No, this is a wonderful topic today. You know, just want to talk about kids going back to school. You know, my son's about to start school in a couple of weeks. So, you know, we're just going to put him in a two-day program. He's 18 months old.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, are you beautiful. In tears yet?
I'm in shock.
Oh, my God.
You know.
I wonder how he's going to handle separation anxiety, right? When he sees you holding this, is it a boy or a girl?
Little boy.
When this little boy sees you and you like hand him off to someone, I could just imagine him saying, wait a minute. I didn't sign up for this. I mean, holy cow. Are you going to be able to handle it?
I don't think so.
Oh my.
I'm going to be a mess.
You're going to need to like.
Okay. He needs to start building his little footsteps one by one and getting exposure to children and folks and, you know, building his little personality more and more.
Oh,
so
what a beautiful
I'm ready for
thing.
Him to do it.
It goes by so fast.
I remember those times,
I
Ruby.
Do too. I remember the first day taking Christopher, my son, to daycare, Yvette. And the first day went well, right? But it was the second day when I took him, he turned his little head to me and said, Mommy, why are you letting them take me away again?
Oh,
now,
my
that
gosh.
Broke my heart.
And you're like, wait a minute.
I was like, oh, I thought the difficult day was behind me. So just be prepared. Day two may be the tough one.
All I know is day one, I see one little kid with a runny nose. And then day two, I see another kid with a runny nose. And then day three, my kid's got the runny nose.
And then day four, you have
a runny nose. I don't know if that's the beauty of life, the joy of life, or it's just one of those things. Well, Yvette, I hope you call in again. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I know this sounds corny, but take lots of pictures, will you?
Yes, exactly.
Take lots of pictures. You need to have your husband there so y'all can hold each other as you leave him. And that way you can like, you know, cry together. Cause it's, you know, there are different stages of kids' lives. One of them, of course, is when they can like sit up. That's like a big thing. And then another one is when they can be potty trained. That's a big thing. And then, of course, another one is when they're totally mobile. They can walk.
Oh, yeah.
And then you got to watch them all the time because they're touching things and this and that. And then, of course, goes to like full-time school and then becomes friends. And when they start having friends, it's like, oh, my God. There are just so many stages of life. And I'm so glad you're going to live them all, Yvette. And
thank you.
I hope you call and tell us how it's going. Call in next week and just say, well, I made it. Just let us know. I made it.
A couple of weeks, actually, but I want to give it to you live.
Live. Do it live.
Yeah, this is going to be something to hear.
Thank you, Yvette. Thank you for calling into the show.
Thank you.
Well, Houston, I'm going to pay my ad very quick. I'm so glad all of y'all tuned in to this episode. We're going to talk more about bike lanes. We are going to talk about Metro, and we are going to talk about some of these other referendums. I'm sure I'll have candidates calling in. So stay tuned. That's what we're here for. This is your show. Call in, talk about the issues that you care about, and we're going to help you try to solve them, or at least we'll talk about them together. Let's cue the ad. This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia. Listen to my radio show, A Tip from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer every Monday from 11 a.m. till noon on Houston's gospel leader, KWWJ. 1360 AM and streaming live on KWWJ.org. Listen on the legendary KYOK 1140 AM and streaming live on KYOKradio.org. KCOH 1230 AM, The Source.
On Send Geek Radio 95.1 FM 1460 AM.
And Aliento Radio 101.7 FM and 1540 AM. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then. This is Gilbert Garcia of A Tip from Gilbert. Houston's not working for everyone. People don't feel safe. Potholes are everywhere. Water bills are skyrocketing, and minority businesses are struggling. That's why I entered the race for mayor. Read about my 100-day pledge to Houston at garciaforhouston.com. Thank you.
Political ad paid for by Garcia for Houston campaign.
And Houston, we'll see you next time.